Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your host, Apostle W.J. Armstrong, and we want to welcome you to Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. And, you know, it's very interesting, the time that we are living in, how important this is. I come to understand the importance of this topic as I was sitting in the assembly. And we were talking about words and how when the translation was made, some of the Greek words and Hebrew words was not translatable into English. So some of what we believe, some of what we are walking around here saying, if you go back to the Hebrew, the meaning is altogether different. And what does it make you feel like? And we're going to get into that a little later on. And what we want to do is have a meaningful exchange of ideas, which is rooted in our faith and our trust in Elohim. And, you know, if we can have a conversation whereby we can talk to each other and not at each other, then it becomes meaningful. Because words that work, words are important, just like symbols are important. And that's one of the things we're going to deal with today. Symbols, and one of the symbols is what just took place. Almighty Everlasting Creator, we thank and praise you for your word. We thank and praise you for your beloved Son and whom taught us how to apply your word to our daily living. And we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. And Father, we come to you seeking solutions, not problems, because you know what the problem is. I know what the problem is. And no point in us talking about the problem when the solution is what we need. And those, let those who hear your voice, hear what you have to say to them, do your word. Amen. Well, again, good evening. And as we look at it today, we have to see what's happening. What's the important event that took place today? And in our culture, in American culture, it was the sunrise service. Sunrise service. Now, what is sunrise service? It's being there and before the sun comes up. And what is the significance of that? We look at that, call that significant, because we say that was the time that the Yeshua rose. And they ladies went to the tomb, and he wasn't there. He was gone. So that is the purpose of us doing that. And that is one of the most holy Christian, on the Christian calendar, that's one of the most holy times of the year. The other time is Christmas time. But we're just dealing with the one that we people just went through. And if we look around ourselves, and what is it that you feel? What is it that you heard today? Now, I admit I'm a retired pastor of a mainline denomination. And I did some of the same thing. We had a sunrise service, and we had breakfast after the service. And we talked about him. We sung our song, He's Risen. And we did all of those things. And the question that I was left with today, this morning, was, what are you doing? We know what he did. We know that he went to the cross. We know that on his way to the cross, he did certain things that reconciled us back to the Creator, back to the Father. And as we are easily to rejoice, we are easily to look at what other people are doing or have done. And we can say all those beautiful things, but what happened? What happened? What are we doing? That's my question. What are we doing? So the question to you is, did you examine yourself? And what are you doing? And he did all that for us. He bore our sins. He even went so far to say, by his stripes we are healed. And he even went so far to say that he destroyed the works of the devil. And he came so we can have life and have it more abundantly. But what are we doing? What are you doing? He did all that for us, what are you doing for him? Most importantly, what are you doing for yourself? And this world that we're in now, it's challenging. It's really challenging. And we need to stop. What is the meaning of what? What is the meaning of what? I want you all to think about that. So when the mics are open, we can have a lively discussion. One that may be able to enlighten others. But I want you to look back. This one time, I want you to look back. Back in history. Not his story, but back in history. And see what the events say to you that took place. Are you inspired enough to live according to the teaching of the Messiah, who gave his life for you and me? Or are you one who lacked basic understanding of what took place, and in so doing, you are off into idolatry? And you say, now, Apostle, how you get off into idolatry? How you get that word, idolatry? Well, whenever we start worshiping the Son, who made it clear that it's the Father, that no one greats but the Father. And he made it clear in his teaching what he expected of us. What are your expectations from the day? I know you say that I'm throwing a whole lot of questions out there, but that's the only way that we all going to come into understanding who we are, but most importantly, whose we are. Now, what I was given early this morning was, we are to write the final chapter. you and me and everybody who hears. And we write in the final chapter whenever we do according to his will, the Father's will, who was expressed to us through the Son and his great commission statement that he gave us. Now, for this part, I'm going to open the mic, and there's another part to this that we will deal with. There's three parts, and we will deal with them. But this part here, I want to deal with the question. What do you think the Messiah expectation of you is after all he went through for us? Now, I know today is a holiday, and it may not be as exciting as it, as if a lot of people are out of town. But for those of you who have are listening via your computer, you can always send me an email, or you can send me a text. You can text 443-760-8897. 443-760-8897. Caller, are you there? I know we have one caller. Are you there, and have you given in?
Praise Elohim. I thank him. I thank him. I praise him. He is greatly to be praised. Yes, I am here.
All right. Now, what do you think the Messiah expectation of you after he is risen, after he went through all that he went through for us?
Well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead now.
I believe with all my heart that the Messiah finished all that he set to accomplish. And now it is up to us to carry out his commission to spread the word, to do the will of the one who sent him, to finish the course that he has set before us, because he's already paid the debt of sin. Now it is up to us to tell dying men and women all over the world that he lives, and that we have the Holy Spirit. He has sent the Comforter. There is no need for us to dwell on his yes, he bore the stripes of the world. He took sin's debt. He paid it in full, and it is up to us now to continue his work. That is my take on that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just sidetracked for a second.
Okay.
Now, what my question, my next question is, what specifically would you say you are doing to fulfill Go ahead.
What I specifically am doing is to spread the word about Elohim and what he and the future and the plans that he holds for us. I am being or trying to be obedient to his will. I don't think it is too much for us to ask for, to be asked, you know, to not do for him with all that he has done for us. So that is what I am trying to do. As a follower of Elohim.
Now, could we say that's what you are doing? Not
is
trying?
That what I'm doing? Yes. I am doing it. I am doing it.
Yeah, because so many times. Go ahead.
Go on. No. I interrupted you.
What I was going to say is that so many times what we say out of our mouth is not what we do.
That's right.
We say one thing and we wind up doing another. And I'm guilty of it. I've done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is people then are looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
They see what we say. And what we do doesn't compute or doesn't line up with what we say.
Not a line up with the will of God.
That's right.
And you know, what I do, when I say, I try to emphasize that word finished because so many of us will attempt to put, like that old him, we'll put our hands to the plow.
Mm-hmm.
And what we actually do in the interim is we try to do many things. But the scripture tells us if we are faithful over just a few things, he'll make us ruler over many things. So while the Messiah was a finisher, I desire to be a finisher too. But I realize that if I attempt to try and do too many things, put too many, you know, have my hand in too many pots and not accomplish any, then I'm not a finisher.
True. And the world rejoices in that.
Yes.
That you're not
a
finisher.
Yes. And so I would rather accomplish one thing. If I accomplish one thing, then that may be very well what that God has for me to accomplish. At least I will have accomplished that.
Mm-hmm.
So while we some acknowledge Jesus rising on a Saturday, some acknowledge him rising on a Sunday. I know that he rose. He rose, and he went on, and it's done. Everything has been accomplished, and he has paved the way for all of us as children of Elohim, the Most High God, to continue the work. And that is what I do.
All righty. Now, is there anyone online that went to Sunrise Service would like to share?
Well, can you hear me? I went to Sunrise Service, and the scripture was John 20th chapter. I forgot the verses, but he talked about the tomb and related it to the to that famous tomb that in the world somewhere, and I can't think where.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, he related it to how the difference, one was built out of money and all of that, and the other one was built out of the land. It came from the rock from up above. And how the tomb that Jesus was in was just a stopover place. It was not a permanent place for him because of the resurrection. And the challenge for us as believers in that, that we go tell others about what the resurrection should mean for them. And that is eternal life. Because if you believe he died and he was resurrected, that lets you know that if you die, you will one day be with him and be glorified like he is. And to me, that was a different take on what I had expected at that time. But I believe all of that. I went in believing all of that. So it was just a reinforcement of what I had known already, but it reinforced it. Just hearing it the way he said it today. And also going to my, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, after which we had Sunday school, and again re-emphasizing the resurrection of Jesus and what it should mean to you. And in that lesson, primarily, go tell and not be fearful of it. And that scripture came from Mark 16, chapter verses 1 through 8. So it told of the women who went to the tomb to put perfume and things on the body, to freshen the body after the burial. And they were frightened at first, and we talked about when people are frightened of people who die and how that fright is for Jesus' death and resurrection is not the same. And if you're frightened about someone who died, the main thing you should do is try to make sure that they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior before they die, and that they are right with God before they die. Yes.
All right. Well, that sounds like it's a little different, because most of it, in my experience being a pastor and going through this process, as well as being a Mason, and I know some people want to take exception to that, but that's fine with me. There's no different than that in the cults that they are in, and there's no difference in that as less different in what the Masonic order does than what they are doing. Now, a lot of it is emotion. That's what I found. I found the Sunrise Service is a bunch of emotions wrapped up in a package and saying that this is Jesus' resurrection time. Because some of the same people that less than 24 hours after that is not doing what Jesus called us to do. He says that we're supposed to love our Creator with all our hearts and all our mind. And the second is like unto it. We love our neighbors ourselves. And whenever we begin to put what he did in action, that's whenever, for me, that's when the glorified body or the glorified me come into being. Because if I don't do it, I don't know why I feel I should have a glorified body. Because whenever I was working, I went to work. I had to put in a day's work in order to get a day's pay. But we think that we don't have to abide by the teaching. And that's why one of the things that I've started, I am following the teaching of the Messiah with the Torah being foundation. And I found when I started doing that and looking at things that way, things began to happen and that I had not expected. But that whole emotional bit, and I want to mention what's going on in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's emotional, what's going on over there. It has nothing to do with anything other than the emotional fulfillment whenever the law of engagement, the military law of engagement, says, one, that they were right in retaliating, okay, because they was hit, they can hit back. But whenever I read that 32,000 people have been killed, and most of them were women and children, I just had serious doubts and serious questions. And my rabbi brother, whenever this first happened, we had a conversation. And we concluded that according to military engagement law, they were within their rights. However, he said that the government in Israel is secular. And here we sitting over here want to uphold them and everything they do as if they are doing the work of the Creator. But we're dealing with a group of secular individuals. And whenever I look at what just happened, a lot of what we are doing this afternoon, and we went this morning, we basically have forgotten and not put into action that which was required of us. And now some people gonna take exception to me, well, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But they're gonna have to show me where I'm wrong in the scripture. Now, the scripture is clear that we're to judge people who are in the body of Christ, and the Creator's gonna judge those who are outside. Now you say, how does that relate? Because those guys over there, they are perpetrating a fraud, as far as I'm concerned, whenever I line it up with the word. They are killing people unnecessarily. And it's like they have a right to do what they're doing. They're not saying that the Creator gave them that authority. I know whenever you go back to look at the book of Exodus and you look at how he freed them out of Egypt and how he carried them through the desert. But I can't see what he's doing now to those individuals there when you're dropping all those heavy bombs on people. And then if anybody criticizes them, then they want to jump on you. Well, let them jump, because my Creator, Elohim, evidently they have turned their back on him. Any response?
War is senseless to me. All war. It's just senseless. That's my opinion.
Wait a minute, do that again?
I look at war as senseless.
As sinful?
Senseless.
Okay.
It makes no sense to
me. Right.
Fighting any war makes no sense to me. I believe that's where I would put my trust, my faith in the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already told us that these wars will occur.
True.
And they are not just rumors now. They are.
Mm-hmm.
They are in existence, have been, and will continuously be until the Creator sets it all straight. So when I hear wars breaking out all over the world, well, it's already been prophesied. So I see it as we are spending all this extra money and people are getting killed. Where does it end? To me, we are fighting a senseless war. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. However, whenever we look at what's happening now,
mm-hmm.
technically it is senseless, because what bothers me is that they over there, they killed 32,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is burnt into the psyche of memory of those other Palestinians? The hatred for those individuals that did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you hate, to me, all they're doing is creating another generation or several generations hate. And when does it ever end? When does it stop?
Yes.
This has been going on for thousands of years.
Yes, Lord.
And just like here in America, one homicide impacts 42 people.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, 32,000? Just say that impact, say one of them impact, what, 10?
Mm-hmm.
10 times, that is a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be hating Israel. I don't understand why people can't see that.
And well, that's because they're blinded.
Mm-hmm.
They're blinded.
Yeah,
it's just like people saying, you have Arabs, or I'll go as far as with the World Trade Center. These
mm-hmm.
people claim that they were doing it in the name of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that is passed down from generation to generation. It is hate.
Mm-hmm.
It is not an action that I believe that is sanctioned by Elohim.
But we have millions of people in America who profess to be Christians who are in support of what is happening there.
Well, mm-hmm. we have to pray for them.
Yes.
We have to pray for them that God will remove the blinders.
Mm-hmm.
That they will no longer walk in darkness, that their children, you know, more so,
mm-hmm.
I pray for the generation to come.
Yes.
I pray for the generation to come, that they will not walk in the steps of their fathers or their fathers' fathers, and the hate will stop having a domino effect. Because when we teach our children to carry on the hate, what we are doing is not worshiping the Creator. We're worshiping Satan.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, those individuals who may want to believe that we are bashing Israel, that's a lie. Because we are talking about solutions,
yeah.
A solution that if they keep killing people, all they're doing is escalating the hatred that is already at a high level in that region, not just in that area where they're fighting, but in the region itself. And I was looking at the demonstration and protest here in America. And once upon a time, you would never had that type of demonstration or protest against the policies here in America. And the percentage, it is astronomical, the people who don't go along with America supporting the struggles, if you want to call it, on either side in that region.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we sit down and think about all of this, what is the solution? The solution is not keep bumming people. The solution is not keep killing people. What that's doing is creating a more of a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was informed that you had lots of Jewish residents of Israel leaving the country because of what was going on there. And that tells you that they are not really in support. The masses are not really in support of what's happening there, their position.
Well, you know, we could kind of sum the solution up in maybe three words or more, let God's will be done.
Mm-hmm.
God's
will
be done.
But see, we got too many definitions of who God is. I mean, the God I serve take exception to mass killing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, especially killing women and children.
That's right.
And militarily, if you're killing men who got weapons, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but that's fine from a military perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But you're starving people. Literally starving people. And I'm going to say this. I'm just going to put it out there. Those individuals that are in support of what's going on, I look at the history, American history, and I look at how they treated minorities. And I don't see a whole lot different than what's happening there in a way that those individuals who support the policies over there in the way that they treated minorities in this country. And
I'll
they,
even go with, yeah.
They marginalized us, and we stood firm in our belief.
Mm-hmm.
And the creator that we believe in appears to be a little bit different from the one that those people believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And the first, they're going to say, number one, that the Muslims are the devil, and the Muslims is going to say the Christians and the Jews are the devil. When will that will be a conversation when people sit down and have a conversation with each other and work things out? And, you know, it's sad, but that's the times that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last one is Donald J. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
His latest thing is a Bible. He is selling Bibles now.
No.
Yes. And the Bible is God Bless the American Bible. And he's saying that his Bible is going to call us to pray again.
Mm-hmm.
What is that saying to those of you who are Christians and those of us who follow the teaching of the Messiah? How can a Christian... Oh, and he's using the King James Version of the Bible.
Mm.
Why? Because that is in the public domain. He cannot get anybody like the NIV. I think it's Harper. I've forgotten the rest of the Harper, the publishing company. They own, and they won't do it. They won't do NIV.
Mm-hmm.
So, the King James and you, these evangelical Christians, will tell you that that's the only Bible anyway. That all the rest of the Bibles are not true Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, here's a man that can add to that Bible by putting the Constitution and other articles in there. And he also... It is saying that his name is like copyrighted.
Mm.
So they're using his name associated with that book. And I'm calling it a book at this point.
It's wild.
It's real wrong. But you're gonna have people that's gonna go out and pay $60 for one of his Bibles. And go ahead.
You know, he better be careful because he is doing a terrible thing. And it's a simple thing. And he is not going to get away with that.
Why not?
The courts might let him get away, but God is not going to let him get away.
And his God done let him get away with all these years, so why is God going to do anything different now?
His God is his God, not our God. At least it's not mine.
I had to laugh on that one.
That we have to deal with his foolishness day in and day out. It's a shame. And I don't blame him, because let me tell you, they're letting him do it. And that's why he won't stop. They're letting him do it. And it's shameful.
Now, that I have to concur with what you just said. They are allowing him to do it. I look at it, has it been anybody other than him that would have been in jail now, in prison? He has, what, 91 counts? I think it's 91 charges pending. And how can he talk about judges and their children, and how can he get the name of the witnesses and intimidate them? How can he make all these intimidating statements whenever? Yeah. And see, if we go to Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the Creator says that he only demands three things. Be just, show mercy, and walk humbly with him. Now, the first one, they're not just. When we look at it, where's justice? Anybody else would gone through that? Like I said, I think he spent $50 million in lawyer fees. $50 million. That's a whole lot of money. And he ties up the court system. It's ridiculous. And you talk about the Supreme Court. Those guys act like they're God in themselves, and they're his guardian angel. But where's the justice? Yeah. Who's humble? Who's humble? I mean, what we're about is looking at solutions. The problem, the solution is Psalms 2, 1 through 6. Where the nations rage, and those individual leaders, they are coming together and doing evil things. I'm just paraphrasing for lack of time. And the Creator is sitting there laughing at them. He's scorning at them. He's laughing. Now, you said that his wrath is going to come down on them soon.
That's right.
And they think that they're getting away, but they're not. And the solution is found also in the Word in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We pray for all people. Even those in authority, so that we can have peace. And also, so the Creator doesn't want anyone to be lost.
Yes.
We pray that their soul be saved. We pray that the Holy Spirit reaches out and touches them. And if, in fact, after the Holy Spirit touched them, they hardened their heart, what happened to Pharaoh? What happened to Pharaoh? He perished along with his firstborn and probably everybody else in his household. But I just want us to be, to give thought. Think of this stuff that's happening when we begin to process it. Think of an onion.
Mm-hmm.
You got to peel an onion back to get to the core of it. The outside, mm-hmm. those external peels, you can't use them.
That's right.
But once you peel them away, then you're able to use them. I mean, use the what's left. I want to thank you guys for calling in, and I want to thank you for your comments. I hope somebody listening, I hope it opens some people's eyes, and I hope they mm-hmm. take it the way we mean it. We are yes. people. We are a station. We ain't into talking about problems. We're into solutions. And what we are seeing in the Middle East is they are creating problems, not providing solution to a problem. Because whenever you're doing things that create hate, you're not helping yourself or anyone else.
That's right.
And whenever you look at what's happening here with this character that's running around now pushing Bibles, and he says that he's not, but the mere fact that his name is licensed, he's going to get some revenue from it.
Blasphemy. That's all he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we, the minorities in this country, has been the one that held the country together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But most people don't believe that. But whenever you sit down and you look at it, all the evil that they've done to the minorities in this country,
mm-hmm.
and the minorities have not retaliated,
mm-hmm.
the scripture that they appear to be living by is, states, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
There you go. Okay.
And we are not being vengeful. We're not, you know, going after those who have wronged us.
Yes.
As a group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dealing with the individuals because there's always an exception. But as a group of people,
mm-hmm.
we have cooked their food. We have raised their children. We have worked in their fields. We have done for them what they refuse to do for us. And we're at a state now where and I'll use the name Malcolm. As Malcolm said, because growing up on a farm, the chickens always come home in the evening time.
Chickens.
And they know where their chicken coop is.
Mm-hmm.
They will come home and get in their chicken coop.
Yeah.
And that's all Malcolm said. The chickens would come home to roost.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see that's happening here in this country right now. And we just have to stay the course, and we stay prayed up that no matter what happens or what they do, we will be protected. Psalm 91 made that clear. So again, I want to thank you for tuning in. And may the peace of Shalom be yours and your household be covered by this peace, by Shalom. So have a good evening, the rest of the evening. And hopefully we'll be back again next week. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.